Just open our Bibles, if you will, this evening to the 98th Psalm. Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a song, with trumpets and a sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Here in the 98th Psalm, if you look back here, I had this on my heart a couple of days. Came up with some stuff today. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. He said there in verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, a new song." And that's what I want to talk about. Seven notes in the new song. I was asking Gary, he knows music, and there's seven notes, if I'm not mistaken. And he told me how you can remember them. I remember how they, do, re, mi, fa, si, lo, ta, to, ti, ta, to. So I can't get past the ti, do's. But anyway, it's something like that. But there's many songs. Lots of psalms that tell us to sing unto the Lord. Look back here in Psalm 96 in verse 1. Many psalms that tell us to sing unto the Lord. Here he says a new song. And here it says another. It says it again. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. So that tells us to sing unto the Lord in Psalm 96, 1. 95 in verse 1 says, "Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And even in the 100th Psalm, that's what he says in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And you know, Psalm 40 says this, that he hath picked me up out of an horrible pit, took my feet out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and hath put a new song into my heart, put a new song. And so you see, you can't sing a song if you don't know it. And God said he puts a song into our hearts. In Revelation 5, verse 9, it says that they sung a new song. And you know what the first words of that new song was? "Thou art worthy, who hast redeemed us by thy blood, out of every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every nation under the earth." That's the song they sang. That's the song we're going to sing in glory. We sing that here. We sing right now, "Thou art worthy. Oh, Lord, thou art worthy. You redeemed us. You saved us by your blood." And oh, beloved, that's a new song. And there are many psalms where there's groaning, weeping, suffering. But here he's talking about rejoicing. Here he's talking about singing unto the Lord. And so that's what I want to talk about. Seven notes in this new song. And I want to give you the first one. Seven notes. And you know, over in 2 Corinthians, I want to say, might be 1 Corinthians 15, but I think it's 2 Corinthians 13 or 14, where it says, you know, that you got to sound a clear note. If the trumpet gives a sound, it's got to sound a clear note. The note's got to be good. You got to understand it. And I heard Henry's preach years and years ago, sounding a clear note. In other words, make your message clear. Hit the right note. Hit the right thing. Because the Lord's people know the song. They know the notes. They know when the Lord's speaking and how he speaks. And here's the first note. It's a note of wonder. Look what he says here in verse 1. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Why? "For he hath done marvelous things." That's the reason to sing, ain't it? Huh? A note of wonder. What? He, the Lord himself, hath done wonderful, wonderful, marvelous things. Now I want you to look with me in Exodus 15. This is what they said about him when they come through the Red Sea. Done marvelous things. Oh, my soul, how many marvelous things. The Lord Jesus Christ coming, born of a virgin. What a marvelous thing that is. The Lord Jesus Christ living a sinless, holy, perfect life of obedience to his Father. Never, ever doing anything to anybody except what was right, just, and true. God's true and faithful witness, the Alpha and Omega, lived that sinless life. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, what a marvelous thing that God, even after he lived this sinless life, this perfect life, this holy life, this harmless life, that God himself delivered him up to the cross. Let men do with him what they would. But just be sure of this, that he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And then men did what they wanted to, and wicked men did with their hands what they wanted to. And our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what a marvelous thing it is that God sent him, that he lived, and that he died. But how much a more marvelous thing is it that our Lord Jesus Christ raised again from the dead, and that he ascended to the right hand of God. That's marvelous. And now when you say something's marvel, you just stand there and just, I marvel at that. Not only is it marvel at, but it's marvelous in every respect. And here's what he says about the Lord here in Exodus 15:11. Oh, he said, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? See how that's in small letters? There ain't but one God that's got a capital G. There ain't but one Lord that's got a capital L. All others are little G's. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and what does he say? Doing wonders. I'm going to read you another verse. You don't have to look at it, but I'm going to read it to you over in Revelation 15:3, where it says this. They were singing a song, and this is what they said. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, what he sung in Exodus 15:11. And the song of the Lamb, not only Moses sung the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Oh my. So there's the first note, a note of wonder. And I remember, I believe, the first time I ever preached in a grace church, it was at Scott Richardson back in 80, 81, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And I remember that this is one of my message was seven things that makes me know I'm one of God's sheep. And the first one was, you know what the first one was? That God could be just and save a sinner like me. That absolutely filled me with wonder and still fills me with wonder. That's still the most marvelous thing that I've ever heard. How can God be holy, righteous, and just, and at the same time save a sinner like me? Not only save me, but save me every single day that goes over my head. That's marvelous now, I'm telling you. And so, beloved, this fills us with wonder. It fills us with awe and fills us with thanksgiving. He hath done marvelous things. And then here's a note of victory. Here's the second note in this. Let's say A, B. These are all major notes. There ain't no minor notes in this one. These are all major notes. I heard a musician talking the other day that he had a whole song written in the 12th major. And the guy said, I have a clue what that means. He said, just a technical term. But these are all major notes. There's no minor notes in this. But there's the next one is this, a note of victory. Look what he says again in verse 1. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Gotten him the victory? What does God need a victory for? God don't need a victory. Do you know what it means is that He conquered us, and then the conquering us and doing for us, He gets the victory. We give Him all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in this. And it says His right hand. His right hand. Oh my. What does a right hand mean? It means power. The right hand is position. The right hand is strength. The right hand has all the power. The right hand is the one that God used. And you know who God's right hand is? The same ones that sits at God's right hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, beloved, Christ is God's right arm. Christ is God's right hand. Isaiah 53:1 says this, Who hath believed the report of the Lord? Who hath believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I tell you what, it's been revealed to me. Said, Who hath believed our report? I have. I believe the report, didn't you? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? It's been revealed to me. Has it been revealed to you? You believe the report? Oh, of course you do. Oh my, Christ is God's right hand. Christ and the Holy Spirit is His right hand. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who comes and brings us the things of Christ and shows us the things of Christ and teaches us the things of Christ. And that's why, beloved, that's why He says this, God won the victory. To God be the glory. And only victory that we know is what He gives us in this world. You know how we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and our testimony of that blood. Our testimony of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's how we overcome. By His blood and by our testimony concerning Him. And every time we testify of Him, why, who else we going to testify about? Who else we going to say brought us salvation? Who else we going to say has got the right hand of power? Who else we going to say has got the arm of strength? We can't. Oh my. You see, it's Christ who redeemed us, and it's the Holy Ghost who quickens us. And I tell you, he gets the victory. And I tell you that, and you hear people say all the time, well, the devil made me do this, the devil made me do that, and the devil done something else. God whipped the devil. He got victory over sin. He got victory over death. He got victory over me. He got victory over you. He has victory over the world. There's nothing that God cannot defeat and has not defeated. Ain't that right? He got the victory over sin. I didn't. He did. He got the victory over the devil. He did. I didn't. I ain't no match for him. I ain't no match for my own flesh, much less the devil. You? I can't even deal with my own flesh. I don't know what I'd do if I had anything more powerful than that to have to deal with. But oh my, Christ redeemed us. The Holy Spirit comes and He quickens us. And He gave us the victory. And oh, here's another note. Here's another high note. In verse 2. Oh, I love this. The Lord hath made known His salvation. The Lord hath made known His salvation. You know, if the Lord did not make His salvation known, nobody'd know it. Nobody would know it. I wouldn't have known it if He hadn't made it known. But He made it known. John 6:44 says that no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw. And everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, he comes unto me. He'll come unto me. And I tell you, beloved, God made His salvation known in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He set it forth in Him. And you know where else He made it known? He made it known right there. If He hadn't given us this blessed book and help us to understand it, we wouldn't have known anything about the salvation of the Lord. We'd have known about our free wills. We'd have known about our choice. We'd have known that when He gave us a chance, we'd have to cooperate with Him when He gave us our chance. We'd have to wait. He'd have to wait on us till we let Him do something for us. But that's not making salvation known. If He makes it known and don't apply it, what good does it do anybody? But if He makes it known, then what He means when He makes it known is that He makes it known to His people. They actually know the salvation of the Lord. They know that salvation is of the Lord. But He made it known in His Word. And I tell you, that like in here, this is talking about Christ. He made His salvation known. He made it known in His Word. Made it known in His preaching. That's why preachers, that's why, that wouldn't be no use for a preacher if he didn't make salvation known. If he didn't talk about Christ and how God saves a sinner. And how that the Lord, salvation's of the Lord. Jonah learned that. Jonah learned that when he was down in that fish's belly, that big old whale's belly down there. And he said, here I am, I'm in hell. And I can't get out of here. But this I know. Even down here where I'm at, in the deep, dark place with bars around me, he said, I do know this, the salvation's of the Lord. And about that time, that big old fish rolled right up to the shore and spit him out on dry land. He didn't spit him out and say, now, didn't he spit him out in ankle-deep water? Said, walk the rest of the way. He spit him out on dry land. That's salvation known. That's salvation known. That's what it means to make salvation. And this is the way, you know how he makes, what else he makes known about it? That's entirely, completely of the free grace of God. If you got it and made known to you, the Lord made it known to you. And it was his grace that made it known to us. It's the grace of God. And he makes us know that salvation is entirely of grace. And I tell you what, and it's something else too. It's a joyful sound. Oh, what a joyful sound to those who've heard this note of mercy. And it is a mercy. It is a mercy. All of us would agree to that. It's a note of mercy to know that the Lord made us to know salvation. That's a mercy. What a mercy. You know how many people that he doesn't make known that to? How many people he passes by? How many people that he'll send a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned because they love not the truth? Oh, it's a joyful sound. Oh, what a joyful sound to those who hear this note of mercy. Look unto me. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Here's another note. Here's another note. Fourth note. Fourth note. What would be the fourth note in the scale, Gary? D. This is high D. Not a low D, not a minor D, major D. Look what he says here in verse 3. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. Oh my. He remembered his mercy. And that word truth is the same word as faithfulness. He remembered his mercy and his faithfulness. Who did he remember it to? The house of Israel. Now what is he talking about when he talks about the house of Israel? Paul said over in Galatians chapter 6, he says, the true Israel of God, they that walk according to this rule are the true Israel of God. We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and in the true circumcision which worship God in spirit and in truth and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And beloved, he was faithful to Israel and they was rebels. He, thousands of them died in the wilderness. Because of unbelief. He gave them manna from heaven. Gave them water out of a rock. Gave them a cloud of pillar by day. And a cloud of fire by night. And he kept them. Their shoes didn't wax old. And their clothes did not grow old on them. In 40 years. And they was a bunch of rebels. So who's he talking about? The house of Israel that he's faithful and merciful to. The true Israel of God. God's elect. God's blessed people. Look with me and. In 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, no, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Oh, this is what I'm talking about. He is faithful to Israel, the true Israel of God. You know, what he promised, he said, I'm going to take you into the promised land. I'm going to take you into Canaan. I'm going to take you to the land of milk and honey. He's promised to take us into a land flowing with milk and honey. He's promised to take us into that heavenly Canaan. And what he promised, he's able also to perform. There was two blind men came to him one day. And our Lord said, what will you? And they said, that we might receive our sight. And you know what our Lord said to him? Believe I'm able to do this. You believe I'm able to do this? You believe I'm able to give you sight? And you know what they said? We believe you are. And I tell you, he's able. Whatever he promised, he's able to perform. But look what he said here, talking about faithful in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. What's he going to do? He said in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely and entirely. And your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. There's nothing. And oh, wow. Great is, I won't sing that when we get done. Great is thy faithfulness. That's what I won't say. No, great is thy faithfulness. Here's another note. Here's another note in verse 3. Note of faithfulness. Note of mercy. Note of righteousness. Note of, and then look what he says here in verse 3. He had not only remembered his mercy and truth toward the house of Israel. Listen to this. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Now this is the note of grace. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. You know, that's why missionaries have been all over the world to preach the gospel. And here's what people don't understand. Well, God ain't never sent the gospel here. God ain't never. You know where the gospel started? It started in Jerusalem. It started in Judea. It started in Jerusalem. That's where the gospel started. Went into Africa. Went into Asia. Went into India. Went over into China. There ain't been a place on this. And right now, Lance Heller is down there preaching, and he has to walk for miles and miles up mountains, down mountains, cross rivers and creeks. Has to walk everywhere he goes to preach to people who still wear bones in their nose. So there ain't no place. People say, well, the gospel ain't been here. Everybody in the world hears the gospel. Here's the thing. The gospel's done been all over the world. And especially now since you have all this internet and all this sermon audio, it really goes all over the world now. Brother Henry has messages translated into Chinese, and so the Chinese are listening to him preach. There's people, I've had messages downloaded in Saudi Arabia, and it's a Muslim country. So the gospel's in the world. And you know what happens wherever the gospel's gone? Wherever it's went, God always saves a few, but the majority reject it and destroy them who preach it. That's what they've always done. It's rejected by men, and not only rejected by men, but it's rejected by nations. By nations. Here, we're supposed to be a country that they, you know, a lot of Christians in this country. A lot of so-called Christians in this country. But you know who they make fun of more than anybody else? You get a fella can get out on his knees and pray, and they'll make fun of him. But they'll laud a fella that get on his knees when the flag's being raised. Now, if you ain't backwards, I don't know what is. That's nuts. Look at that guy. Look at him. It's an old pious Joe down there. Look at that old fella. Wants everybody to know about his Christianity. Well, I tell you what. That Christianity is as persecuted in America as it is anywhere else. People don't want nothing to do with it. Especially people of power. But I'll tell you what. Let me tell you this. I tell you, it bothers me. It really does. It bothers me. But here's the thing. He said, the salvation of the Lord is unto all the ends of the earth. And then he says this, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All the end of the earth has seen salvation. You know, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, you know what he says? God said, I'll pour my spirit out upon who? All flesh. When Christ was born, all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. All flesh. And when he talks about all flesh, he's not talking about every member of the human race. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female. He said, I'll pour before his spirit just come upon prophets, come upon preachers, come upon men at a special time, in a special place, in a special way. But he said, after the day of Pentecost, God would send the Holy Spirit down, and now we have the same Spirit that the apostles had. With the Holy Spirit, now all flesh. Here we sit 2,000 years after the apostles preached, after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and he quoted from Joel, all flesh, I'm going to pour my Spirit out on. And right then and that day, there was 3,000 people there, and everybody heard them speak in their own language. And 3,000 souls that day had the Spirit poured out on them from all over the world and were saved and were baptized. How would you like to baptize 3,000 people in a day? I'd be thrilled to death to baptize one. And that's why he says, you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't make no difference who you are. All right. Here's your another note. Here's the sixth note. Here's the sixth note. It's a note of praise. Look in verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord all the earth. A loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Rejoice and sing praise. Well, if I make a noise singing, it's going to have to just be a joyful noise, because I've started out for so many things in the wrong way. But he don't say that you got to sing perfectly. He don't have to say that you got to sing by note. He don't say that you got to sing pretty. He don't say that you have to do, just make a joyful noise. And you know, and we was talking the other day about laughing. Sarah laughed. She says, "Oh, the Lord hath made me to laugh." Made me to laugh. And that's what it meant here, you know. She made a joyful noise unto the Lord. Laughing. Joyful. That was full of joy. And she made this joyful noise unto the Lord. Laughing. Just laughing. And I tell you, and sing praise. Who else would we sing praise to if not unto the Lord? Who else would we sing praise to? And we praise Him. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Let everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Mr. Spurgeon made the comment one time, said, when the leaves begin to shake, he said, what that is they're clapping to their Creator. And that's what he says, let the oceans, let them clap. When them waves come together and slap together, they're clapping to the praise of God. I tell you, let the floods clap their hands. That's what he's talking about. When that water gets to running, they're clapping their hands. Oh, they're praising God. And I tell you what, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I remember somebody years and years ago, they'd always want to sing a song. And they're like me, if they had a bucket, they couldn't carry it to me. And if they had it's like I heard a fellow say one time, if he was a sewing machine, he wouldn't be a singer. But they made a joyful noise. They made a joyful noise. And I know sometimes you all, when you hear him preaching, sometimes you feel like you just won't get up and just say, amen. Oh, that's so true. I know you feel like doing that. But in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, you're making that joyful noise unto the Lord. Huh? And he alone is worthy. His salvation is great. His salvation is marvelous. And one day, every single soul that's ever been on the face of this earth who knows Christ will sing a perfect song, a beautiful song. It'll be so perfect and so beautiful and so glorious that our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And you know who we're going to be singing to? We're going to be singing to Him. We're going to be singing to Him. Perfect song. Perfect tune. Oh, can you imagine what their voices would be? You know, down here they blend sometimes the music gets so good and the singing gets so good, and you can just listen to them voices be lifted up. And you just get caught up. Just stop and listen to them sing. Over at Tim James, you know, had that little building. Oh, the music was so good. The singing was so good, that little building, because that wood just absorbed the sound. Didn't buy back on. And oh my, one of these days, we're all going to get together, and it's going to be perfect. Oh my. I'll be able to sing. And then my last note is this. Look in verse 9. A note of hope. Look what it says. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and people with equity. He's going to come and judge the earth. One of these days, everything on this earth is going to be judged. And look what it says. And with righteousness shall he judge the world. God can only judge in righteousness. That's the only way. He's a righteous God. He's righteous in His nature. He's righteous in His character. He's righteous in His deeds. He's righteous. He's righteous. God is righteous. And the only way He can judge a man is judge him righteously. Now, if I want to be judged righteously, then I'm going to have the righteousness of God by which He judges a man by. So when He comes to make a judgment upon me, if He's righteous, then He's going to have to say, well, He's as righteous as I am. So he enter into the joy of the Lord. But anybody who don't have the righteousness of Christ, God's going to lay the plumb plummet to the line. He's going to lay the plum to the line. And I'm telling you what, the world's going to be just and right. Everybody who thought, boy, I've lived this wonderful life. I have attended services all my life. I've been careful how I live. I've never let a drop of alcohol go past my lips. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've went to church all my life. And I've lived a good life as best. I have really lived a good life. God's going to judge that man in righteousness. But what about my son? Oh. What about him? You didn't believe him. You've been talking about what you done. You ain't said one word to me about what he did. And that's the difference. Either we do it or he did it. There ain't no middle ground. Huh? Ain't no middle ground. And look what he says here. And he'll judge the people with equity. Equity. Have people going to be treated equal. It says he's no respecter of persons. People are going to have equity. God's going to deal with people equitably. It's not going to be like our government, you know, says he's going to take from some and give some to the other. Take from those who's got it and give to those who don't. He's not like that. God's not like that. No. He looks at everybody the same. And in the gospel, everybody's exactly the same. As far as God's concerned, every man's on the same level. President to the lowest man on the totem pole. God looks at all men and says, you're all the same to me. And I'm the only one that can make the difference. And he's going to judge people equitably. And I'm up to the task. You know why? Because Christ is, he's in the scales, not me. The scripture says, we look for a new heaven and a new earth. Said the first earth shall melt with a fervent heat. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. We look for a new heaven and a new earth. What lives in that? Righteousness. And Romans 8:21 says this, that the whole creation groaned. The whole creation under the curse. All the animals and all the everything, the whole creation groans, and the whole creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and from the curse. When? When the children of God are brought into their glorious liberty. When the sons of God are set free, and this earth, when God takes his people and sets them all free, this earth gets to be set free with them. Huh? Be no more groaning then. Oh my. No wonder he said, sing a new song unto the Lord. Oh, seven notes. What's the last note, Gary? G. I stop on the G. Stop on the G. Oh, our Father, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for your precious word. I pray this is a blessing to your people and encouragement to them. Lord, I thank you for speaking to me and having mercy on me and all this congregation of believers. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for making your salvation known. And Lord, we're going to make a joyful noise and we're going to sing praises unto you. Especially when we're alone. Especially when it's just me and you. And it's just us. Oh, Lord, how we make these joyful noises. How we sing our praises unto you in our hearts and in our minds, upon our beds. We make these joyful noises, make these wonderful songs. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us. God bless you, dear saints. Strengthen and encourage those who are not with us. Bless them for Christ's sake. Keep your people till we can worship again in his holy name. Amen.